Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
And now, for those fans around the world, this is the moment you've all been waiting for. Out of Liverpool, England!
It was super necessary.
Hey mate, you okay?
Yes, how's it going, mate?
How's it going, mate?
Yeah, good, thanks, mate. How are you?
Very good. Good to have you back on after a while.
Yeah, it has been a while, to be fair, but I did see you the other week, didn't I, at Dan's weighing?
Yeah. Well, in terms of this, I think, what was the last one we've done?
I couldn't remember, to be fair.
I think it was
one of the group ones, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was when you're on with Cullen and Gittins, I think. Like I said,
been a while.
let's
jump into it then. So, first and foremost, you've recently become a dad. Congratulations.
Thank you.
How has that been for you in terms of your approach to training and sort of balance and everything?
I've enjoyed it, to be fair. Being a dad, I always knew I was almost meant to be a dad. How kind of silly or cliche that might sound. I always kind of felt being a fighter and having my own gym and winning a world title, that was always going to set me up to be a good dad. So that was not the best thing that's ever happened to me, is to be a dad. In terms of how this camp has maybe been different to others because of having a kid, it's not really been that much different. Maybe a little bit less sleep than I'm used to, but nothing too drastic. My missus is, she's gone above and beyond, and she's obviously not working. She's breastfeeding and whatnot, so she's took over most of the parenting duties. But for the things that I am there for, I'm really enjoying.
How has that affected you? Because I know you like to put your whoop stats up of your sleeping and good numbers. How's that been affecting?
Not too bad. Like, surprisingly, not too bad. I mean, this morning I think it was 80%, which is reasonably good. I have been like 95% a lot of the time, but with the baby, it has gone down. I think before that, I think I was at 40%, which isn't ideal, but 80% in general, that's pretty good. I'm pretty pleased with that. And in terms of training and stuff, I've not seen any negative impact. I feel like this camp has, again, maybe been a little bit cliches, but it's been the best camp that I've done thus far.
Yeah. I've got to ask, when does the little one get introduced to the pot noodle bussies and the Greggs and all this stuff that you love?
ASAP. He's got to get on there. No, he's I don't actually know when he can eat proper food. Not that a pot noodle's proper food, but he's gonna be on the breast milk for a good long time, I think.
Yeah. The best stuff for him anyway.
Yeah.
obviously moving on, obviously you're fighting Dad and Stewie July 1st in Cardiff. Obviously big name, having been in the UFC, with him being in there, would that win mean quite a bit for you, knowing that you've took out a former UFC fighter in there?
Yeah, I think that's the way I'm looking at it. We all want to I think most fighters want to tick a certain amount of boxes, and one of those boxes is fighting an ex-UFC vet. Darren fought, he wasn't two fights and then he got released. He's fought in the UFC for a good long time. I think he had about 12 fights. So he was, fighting at a top level for quite a while. He won five or won six and lost seven or whatever it was. But, he's fought at a high level for a long time. And if you do beat a UFC vet, that can open up a few eyes and get you noticed. So That for me, honestly, it feels a little bit bigger than me fighting for the title again, because I know I've won the title, I've been a world champion, but I've never fought that UFC guy yet. So that is something that is has kept me really motivated through this camp.
Yeah, I know with Dan obviously fought at light heavy, didn't he? Mm. Is that something you've taken into account, the fact that you may be a bigger middleweight than perhaps you used to?
No, I don't think so, because I mean, I've actually trained with Dan very briefly, and this was probably about 3 or 4 years ago. I went down to London shoot to do a little bit of a spar. I never actually sparred with Darren. I sparred with Mike Shipman at the time. He was an absolutely ginormous middleweight. He sat on top of me for 3 rounds, but really, in terms of like the difference then anyway, maybe he's got a lot bigger, you know, during that time. But you know, he didn't come across as someone who's, you know, much bigger or anything like that. I think you know, he's come back down to middleweight for a reason, because he wasn't naturally a light heavyweight. So yeah. I tend to think he's, you know, I've never struggled strength wise with any middleweight or anything like that. That's never been an issue, and I don't think this is going to change for the Darren Stewart fight. I think I'm strength wise and whatnot, I think I'm going to be pretty comfortable.
Yeah,
yeah. So you're both coming into the fight on the back of 2 wins. Are you expecting anything from Darren? Like, I assume you've had a little look over his past fights and things like that.
Yeah, it's a bit of a strange one with Darren, because I think leading up to it, say if he fought Lina Liu last in Rome, I think that was about 6 weeks ago, and it would have been a bit more of a simpler camp if it wasn't for that fight. I mean, he showed things in that fight that he's never really shown previous to his career. So, you know, he comes across Darren Stewart when you think, well, when I think of Darren Stewart, he's a banger, he's a big heavy hitter, he's going to come in, he's going to brawl you, he's going to box you and make it, you know, a really tough fight. But in the Lina Liu fight, he indulged in his wrestling a little bit more. He was going for takedowns, and he was wrestling on the cage. And you know, was that because he was against Lina Liu, or himself is quite a big hitter, you know, knocked out James Webb, or is that the kind of the avenue he's going down now? He's a little bit older, maybe he's been a little bit more strategic. Maybe he wants to wrestle a little bit more. I don't know. So it's a bit of a strange one. This, I'm just kind of, I'm preparing myself everywhere, on the cage, on the ground, standing up. I think he's going to kind of determine where this fight goes. I'm quite happy to go where the fight goes, where he takes the fight, and I think I can beat him in all those different positions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know, I think you were on MMA Uncensored, wasn't it? And you mentioned that he's sort of like on the back end of his career, but does that make him more dangerous, do you think, now that he's indulging in wrestling, he's mixing it in with the striking and that?
It kind of depends. I mean, what's the reason why he's suddenly gone to his wrestling? Is it because I've said this to a few people, I don't know if I've said it on the podcast before, but I think when people get older and when they're exposed more to big fights and dangerous fights, I think the fear can get to you at some point. And the you know, you see people get, you know, big injuries and knockouts and whatnot, and that can wear on you a little bit. And maybe Darren's been around that for a little bit long, and he thinks, you know what, you know, I'm not as young as I was. I'm not as game as maybe I used to be. I'm a dad. Of, you know, maybe I've got other things, that other avenues I want to go down. Maybe I don't want to be taking so much damage, you know, in fights anymore. So it depends. It is a tricky one, like I say, because if it wasn't for that last fight, I would have just thought it was going to be a big stand and bang. But with him bringing that wrestling game, it is something else that I do have to think about and bear in mind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Obviously, with your last two fights, you've come out, you've finished your opponents, so you're a big finisher anyway. Mm. Obviously, you're always hunting for the finish, but you think a win over Stewart in fashion, like with a finish, is a big statement for you?
I think it is, yeah, for sure. I don't know how often Darren's actually been finished. He wasn't obviously finished by Stanton. He was finished a couple times in the UFC, but again, we're talking at a very high level there. So yeah, I do think it would make a big statement, and that's what the UFC and these other organizations are looking for primarily now, is they're looking for finishes. They really do look at your finish rate. That's their main drive for signing people, is if you can finish a fight or not. I think that's why there's certain people in Cage Warriors who you know, are champions and have defended the title, or are still young and big prospects who still haven't been signed. Paul Hughes being the main one.
Yeah.
He's a great fighter, very talented, but he hasn't been able to finish the guys. And that's probably the only reason why he's not been signed yet, because he's got everything else going for him.
Yeah.
Yeah. You kind of touched on this a little, obviously saying, you know, fighting Dan Stewart is probably a bigger moment for you than getting another title shot. Would you say this is arguably the biggest fight in the division at the minute?
I would say so, certainly. I'll be surprised if... I mean, Mick and James have got their own followers, of course, and I think maybe the reason why James Webb has got his fight is because he does sell a lot of tickets. But I think anyone who's maybe, I don't know, like yourselves, who's not really affiliated with anyone, I don't really think anyone's bothered about that fight, to be fair, about the Mick Stanton and James Webb fight. I think, you know, Mick's obviously, he's won, he deserves what he's got, but James has won one fight against, you know, a young prospect who he didn't finish, who nearly finished him. The messages that I've got on people is like, who cares? Who really cares about that fight? It's, you know, I've beat both of them badly. You know, I've finished both of them. I've pretty much knocked out James. So for me, I think this is the most exciting fight in the division. It's not going to be a boring fight, where I do think the Stanton Webb fight has got that could end up being a little bit of a bore fest for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Obviously, when we were at Alliance, you mentioned it to me. Obviously, Quinny's probably more curious about this. So, were you surprised that you didn't get the title shot? I know you probably had this a few times as well. Well, I mean, you've said there you beat both of them. It was a bit crazy that you didn't get it.
Yeah.
Was it a bit surprised for you?
Yeah, I was surprised. I didn't really see the motivation why. I don't know. You never know what cage warriors have got the sleeve with things like this. And obviously, I don't expect any organisation to bend backwards for me. But, you know, I've fought 15 times on cage warriors now. I've got a massive finishing rate. I'm an exciting fighter. Maybe I don't sell the most tickets like Webb might, but that Indigo show will sell out regardless. So I was a little bit kind of taken aback by it. Especially because, like I say, James hasn't really built up a winning streak. He's not beat anyone of any consequence in the division or anything like that. So, yeah, I was a little bit taken aback by it. Yeah, I don't understand it, and I don't know. I don't think I'll ever... I don't know if there's, like, one big particular reason for it, that maybe James sells a lot of tickets and can get a good crowd there. I don't really understand it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it seemed odd to me, like, when I was going back and looking over the records and stuff, like, you know, you're 4-1 in your last five. He's four twice since you beat him, and he's lost one and won once since then. It's like I couldn't see the logic behind it myself, to be honest.
It's for myself, when I was kind of going against Frederick, or the build up to Frederick, I was told I needed to win at least three fights in a row to legitimize myself contending for the title. You need to win three fights, which ended up being, well, it was George Smith, Matt Inman, James Webb, and then Frederick. And then someone else kind of gets the opportunity off the back of, you know, quite a poor finish. So I don't know. Again, cage warriors do what cage warriors do, and it's not... I don't have any kind of say in that. But I did think it was a little bit weird.
Yeah. So as I say, there 4-1 in your last five. That only loss coming to Owen Elliott. Were you able to take positives from that fight still?
100%. Yeah, 100%. I think this is. What I'm best at the world is losing. And I know that doesn't sound very good, and people think that's not something you want to be best at, but, you know, I do. I've had quite a lot of losses in my career. I've not got a nice clean record by any means, but I do tend to think that I bounce back very well from losses. And one of the main things was, okay, welterweight is definitely not really a division that I can put down to anymore. It's too low. It just because I can get to 77, it doesn't mean that my body feels good when I get there. So that was the main take back from that. And another thing was I kind of invested in my boxing a lot more. I've got a really good boxing coach now, Scotty Hamilton, who on the back of that also trains with my brother as well. You know, he trains Dan. So Dan's essentially benefited from me losing and getting in contact with Scotty himself. So I do see that as a positive, and I do try and see the silver lining in everything. The first thing I did when I got in the car from Cardiff, because it was in Cardiff and we were driving back from Cardiff to Warrington, was message Scotty and say, I've made an absolute mess of this fight. My hands were useless. You know, can you help me? What can we do about it? So that was the main positive. And again, obviously the return to middleweight was so far the right decision to make.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you've set us up perfectly for the next question there. You say the last two fights you had have been the important part to play that play dividends in those two fights. Obviously, you mentioned Scotty, to talk about the development of your striking with him, how much, if it's improved, how vital he's been to your career.
It's improved an enormous amount. I think you know a coach is really good. I've had this recently with a jiu-jitsu coach I'm working with again, a guy called Chris Leeson. Same with him and Scotty. They'll watch of 10 minutes and say, okay, this is what you're going to throw me backhand, or in jiu-jitsu, not controlling side control properly. Using my weight properly, just certain things that I think crown this, you know, 10 years ago. And it's the relationship with these coaches. I think me and Scotty definitely got on straight away, connected really well straight away. And I'm generally not an easy person to connect to straight away, because I'm quite withdrawn and quite stoic, I suppose I'd say. But I got on with Scotty really, really well. The relationship, you know, we got comfortable very quickly, and to say he brings out the best in me, and he's working upstairs now from Next Gen, so it's really convenient for me to finish sparring on a Tuesday and Thursday, and then nip upstairs and get in a session with him. And again, Dan's joined me in these sessions, and that's good. That's nice to be. We both got our families and whatnot now, so it's nice to spend a little bit of time with Dan and see his improvement as well.
Yeah. Do you believe that your striking has improved? Sorry, do you believe that developing your striking has improved your ground and pound, or is that something that sort of develops through drilling that specifically?
I think it's always, there's always a few things there. I think definitely, you know, punching on the feet isn't that much different to punching on the bottom, really, in some regards. There's just obviously if you're on the floor, there's less hip rotation, there's less room to move your hips. So I've worked really well with Scotty, and that's worked fantastically. But that's linked into all the other training as well that I do with the jiu-jitsu and the ground and pound downstairs with Wimmer and Ellis and Ben. So it's all kind of connected nicely. But I'm certainly seeing massive improvements on the feet and just more of a willingness to engage on the feet as well. You know, every single boxing coach that I've ever worked with has said, like, you've got really good power for your size. You have got a knockout punch, but I've not really been able to show that in even spars. Never mind fighting, even spars. But I don't know what Scott has done, you know, to encourage this. But I'm a lot more aggressive in sparring now. I'm a lot more willing to hold my feet and bang away. And I think that's might just be the key to this Darren Stewart fight, is, you know, we're staying in that boxing range and doing a little bit of damage.
Yeah, yeah. next one, and obviously you were in Dan's corner last fight. How was that experience for you overall? I don't know if it was the first time you cornered Dan, but how was it?
Yeah, that was certainly the first time I've cornered Dan since he was started fighting out Majestic, which has been maybe 5 years now. And that's it was a funny one, because I know I don't expect myself to make any difference in terms of, he's got Josh Hill in his corner. He's normally got Kev Majestic in his corner, but he wasn't there because his wife was in labour. She was having a baby, so I don't think I made a difference in any way. But even just me being there as someone he can lean on, someone who can, you know, maybe give him a bit of confidence before the fight, someone who can go and get his drink for him if he's thirsty, you know, in the changing rooms. I was padding him a little bit backstage because a lot of his teammates were on the same night, so the coaches were in the corner and couldn't, you know, be backstage in the change room. So even if it's just offer him a little bit of support, a little bit of comfort and help him, you know, throw a few left body kicks, then you know, that was well worth me being there. But you know, it's that kind of, again, really cliche thing where you're almost more nervous for Dan than I am, you know, when I'm fighting, because I can control that. I can control when I'm fighting, and any mistakes I make are up to me. But when there's somebody else that you just, you know, really, really want to win, and especially because he'd come off a devastating loss before that, it was, you know, the nerves were there. But you can't show that, because I think it's quite selfish. You know, you've got to be that pillar of strength. You've got to be the one who wears the mask. It's not for you to be nervous. You know, it's for you to kind of, you know, be confident, or at least appear to be confident, so Dan can go in and do his job.
Yeah. Do you think, obviously, yous have got a crazy corner in Next Gen anyway, anytime yous go out, but do you think if, like, a spot was open, say Ben couldn't do one time or vent, and they offered you, would you be willing to do corner in terms of MMA?
Yeah, I would be open to that, and you know, I've coached my own lads, and I'm always found myself quite capable in the corner. I don't think they would come to me. I think you know, I've got Paddy and other people there who've been at Next Gen 4 or 5 years, which, you know, Paddy's been there since he was a 16-year-old kid. Mm-hmm. So I think they'd lean on, you know, other people than me. But I would be more than willing to do it if there was a case. If I actually cornered once for Adam Wilson, because Paul Rimmer ended up getting COVID, and there were three or four of them had shared the car down to get to Cage Warriors. This is when it was all COVID and everything was, you know, unplugged and boxed off. So I was almost, you know, I had to be in the corner for Adam Wilson. So I have done it, but it wasn't because I was asked to do it. It's because, you know, it was I was the only one there who was able to, know, be there because of the COVID situation.
Yeah. How different was that experience cornering in MMA to tie with Dan?
It's to be fair, and hopefully Adam doesn't watch this, but the fight was over pretty quick. Yeah, I think he got his leg snapped by Wesley Mayer at the time, and it was all stand up. So we had Cy Audley there, who was Adam's Thai boxing coach, and it was a stand up first round, so there wasn't really any need for me to kind of voice my bit on the ground and give him any wrestling or grappling advice, because before, at the end of the first round, he was injured, and that was all she wrote. So there wasn't really much time for me to make an impact on that fight at all.
Yeah.
Are these opportunities where they are popping up, like with Dan and the odd one here in with Next Gen, are they helping you sort of prepare for the next stage after your fighting career is over?
Yeah, I think so. And I think that's probably an easy direction to go into. Say I own my own gym with Dan, and I've got lads who are fighting in, you know, on good shows, UKFC and whatnot. And even when we're cornering, we do the ultimate white collar out in the gym as well, the MMA and the boxing. And that, you know, if you do the boxing one, there's 20 fights in a night. So that's 20 fights that I'm cornering for. And you do get, you know, that's good experience. Everything's experience. Same with the MMA. Same when I'm, you know, taking my lads over to you know, Preston to do the UKFC shows. So it is good. And I've always felt quite competent in the corner, and I felt like I've given good advice. And I can say that'll be an easy transition after the career. I think that's what a lot of fighters have real trouble with, is, you know, what avenue do they take after the career is finished? MMA or any kind of athletic, you know, endeavor is over in, you know, in your 40s. If you're lucky, generally kind of mid-30s, late 30s, your career's done and dusted. So it's a bit of a comfort that I've got something to put my energy into, you know, after the fighting's done and dusted.
Yeah. I don't know if we've asked you this previously, but would you, you know, after the fighting's done, that would you like to see more fighters go into like judging that, where we're having issues with that? Is that something that you would like to see?
Yeah, I think that would be a good idea. Again, it's another avenue for people to go down. And we have got a massive problem with judging at the moment. It was, I can't quite remember what fight it was. I don't know if it was on my card or the one before, where the judging is normally solid in Cage Warriors, but I felt there was a two or three fights where they were just well off. I'm not sure why that was the case, but the only issue with that I can see is if I'm turning into a judge, for instance, then I won't be able to judge any of the Next Gen fights at all, because you've got that affiliation.
Yeah.
You know, most fighters have got an affiliation to a gym, so that would be something that would need to be organised. You can't have anybody from SBG judging someone from SBG, and I guess that's the same with the referees as well. But I think that would be interesting to see more fighters, more avenues to fighters to go down and actually get people in the positions where they know what they're doing, they know what to score. We're told it's impact now. It's impact what scores, cage control and whatnot doesn't really score. If you take somebody down and don't inflict any ground and pound or any impact, it doesn't score. And it still seems to me there's some judges who don't really understand this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I think that was it then, wasn't it? Unless you had anything else to ask.
Yeah, no, I don't think there was anything else. Yeah.
No. Well, Matt, thanks for your time as always. Always a pleasure to catch up with you. And best of luck on the first. Can't wait to see you in action.
Cheers, fellas. Thanks for having me on again.
Nice one, mate.
Thanks, Tommy.
Nice one. Have a good day, guys.
See ya.
See you. Bye. Bye.
This is the greatest. I love it.
It was super necessary.
Go now.